thankful tonight. Amen. For the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, we're glad for everybody. Amen. That has come to be with us tonight. Hallelujah. Again, welcome you. We're just thankful. Amen. For you being here tonight. Amen. I'm just truly thankful for everyone. Amen. Good to see. Look back and see Brother John and Sister Jeannie. Amen. Amen. They started this off Sunday morning. We're glad to have them back with us tonight. Amen. We're going to let our evangelist, amen, just come and obey the Lord. He's no stranger here, amen. We appreciate him and love him tonight. Him and his wife, amen, and his family. Praise God. And so we're thankful for him. So it's good to have Brother Dave McHale Knowles with us tonight, and Sister Rebecca, amen, Riley, and Jennifer, amen, we're thankful for them. So we give the Lord, amen, a hand clap, amen. And so thanks and appreciation as he comes tonight to obey the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship with him.
Together to the Lord tonight. Let me know how to do the moment that I have to put my hands together. And let the Lord come out. Believe it, that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I'm so thankful tonight for his keeping power. Amen. That is good towards us. For that we offer that praise. Amen. Just look over to your neighbor for the first time tonight and say, neighbor, when you look at me, you're looking at a miracle. They didn't talk back to you. Look at somebody else and say, neighbor, it should have ended another way. But the grace of God turned it around in my favor. We clap our hands together for your men of God. And all in clapping out enough for me, I said, can we clap our hands together for your men of God? And for your first lady. And we thank God and the men for him, they are dear. And to my family and I cannot ask, amen, for better people in our lives than that of your men of God and your first lady and their family. And we honor the Lord for them. Thank God for the leadership of this house. And clap your hands for this music and these musicians and singers. Two baby girls, I promise they'll put a smile on your face real quick. Amen. But I honor the Lord. Amen. For my family. Amen. Thankful that they traveled this country with me. Amen. That this ministry didn't just call me by myself, but it called my family as a whole unit. And I'm thankful to God for that. Amen. And I'm thankful to be here. Amen. I don't take it lightly. Being asked to come back and be a part of the tabernacle, you guys are family, and we honor the Lord, amen, for the opportunity. But look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord.
There's a word from the Lord.
Tell them I'm a lover of the word of God. Amen. How many's got that power? Would you come on, hold that power up? Amen. When everything else wavers, when everything else falls, the word of our God. Amen. Still remains the same, and I honor him. Amen. Stand all across the tabernacle. tonight. Book of Job 23, verse number 8. Book of Job 23, verse number 8. I believe he's going to talk to us tonight if we have an ear to hear. But the Spirit of the Lord has to say tonight, I have been postured in the vein of prayer, and I believe the angels will talk to me. And we obey and adhere to what he has to say. Job 23, verse number 8. When you have it, shout Jesus.
Jesus.
If you're still looking for it, shout Jesus.
Jesus.
If you don't know where it is, shout Jesus. Amen. It's after Genesis and before Revelation. Hallelujah. Job 23, verse number 8. Amen. And while you're navigating that, I want to personally thank, amen, Sister Flo and Brother Weezer for working with me at last minute. Amen. Trying to get me together. They're so kind, and I honor the Lord. Amen. For Harvest Ministries. Somebody's thankful for them. Bible now gave us this intelligence. It said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I want to read that one more time and put that in your spirit tonight. He said, when I went to the left, I seen you not. I even looked behind me and I still didn't see you. So I thought I'd go forward and I still couldn't see you. And he said, so it felt as if God was playing hide and seek with me. Just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what do you do when God decides to play hide and seek? And he said, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he had tried me, I shall come forth. While I preach it tonight, I shall come forth as gold.
Amen.
Set your Bibles down, set your devices down, lift your hands and lift your voice. And let's ask him to talk to us. Lord, Savior, Healer, God. Before we ask you for anything, we thank you for everything. We thank you for that of the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your power divine. God, I pray in the next 38 minutes that you shift us into another element in your glory. Shake us till we can't be shaken. Move us till we can't be moved. Lord, I pray that miracles, signs, and wonders bust loose underneath this gospel tent tonight. Lord, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Don't allow them to see they might help, but let them see you high and lifted up. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, thy Redeemer. In Jesus' name, in the church of the living God, can shout amen.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you, Savior, for having us together. I just want to spend a little time as you're being seated tonight. If I could preach to you for a few moments, I want to leave you with this thought. And it'll make sense after a while, but just look at somebody and say, neighbor, the best is yet to come. But here's where I want to preach. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I just don't even know. I just don't even know. My brothers and my sisters, I propose to you that the worst place to be in with God is in a state of confusion or a place of delirium, where you know your relationship with God is intact, but you'd rather be confused with what God is doing in the moment. And you have to understand that as we begin to look at our text, that this is where God positions us, right in the middle of Job's faith and confusion.
Job is in a place where he is believing God while everything around him has him lost and confused. I need you to take the moment to listen to this paradox. Believing God, but lost and confused. I am persuaded that you haven't yet tapped into the hidden places in God until you had to believe God while being lost and confused in various seasons that are sent to develop you in your delirium. Can I work this Bible tonight? I promise we're going to run it, but we're going to walk this dog in the park before I get there, because you have to understand, yes, the best is yet to come, but for some of you that just want to wave your hands like you just don't care, can you be honest and say, preacher, I have been there. I know the things of God, but in the midst of knowing the things of God, I have been lost with myself, because it seems as if the more I pray, the more confused I get. And as we begin to look at our text, it's where God positions us, because he is showing that now we have to tap into the place where God has to push us to another level of understanding. And it was here that Job is the most mature and faithful of his believers. For Job, faith and life are not adding up. Even though Job's faith has him as a mature believer, according to God's recognition of him, Job feels as if God is against all, while all is against him. And many of us cannot exercise the level of faith due to allowing life's perplexities to cause us to run from God. Satan has tried the faith of many. So many of us in the process of our faith are being tried, have found ourselves in a place of ruin. Instead of allowing our faith to be tested, we run from God in anger, because we think having faith means everything is going to be easy, while in reality, obtaining faith means it's going to be a fight. And I just need you to look at your neighbor for the third time tonight and say, neighbor, sometimes faith is a tussle. Sometimes you got to muster up something within you to say, you know what, I don't feel like coming to church, but I'm coming anyway, because my expectation outweighs what I'm going through. I'm going to lift my hands anyway, because you don't know the hell I've already had to fight this week to make it underneath this tent. Come on, so you can sit there and look so pretty if you want to, but I just gotta be real with you. There's some seasons in this old boy's life I just don't even know, but one thing I know for sure, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, he'll be closer, come on, than a brother, because the reality is, there's some of you even tonight, hell's already played and wrapped itself around your emotions to make you feel that you're in this thing by yourself. And I know we're talking about a new season, and the best is yet to come, but the reality, some of you are tired of going to a new season claiming the best is yet to come, while still fighting warfare in hell that you've been dealing with the last 15 years. I come to tell somebody, it's time to get free. Push your neighbor and say, neighbor, God doesn't just want to break you out of Babylon. No, God wants to pull Babylon out of you. He doesn't just want to break you out of your broke place, your misery place. No, he wants to pull up out of you. Come on, because if I'm going to be who God has called me to be, I cannot dwell on a new season, but old baggage. I cannot dwell on new anointing, come on, but old frustrations. And I need a few of you right now to just lift your hands and say, God, whatever you do in this season, I don't want to carry the things of old into a new place of you. But I've come to tell somebody, faith is a fight against your trouble, not flight from your instinct of problems. My brothers and my sisters, you really don't know how strong your faith is until your faith has put you in a tussle of survival. Many of us, when you get into a fight of faith. Instead of fighting and standing, you fight and hide in anger. In anger with God, because you cannot believe that God would put you in something like this. How many believers have you seen walk away from God because God has been in a season of confusion? I know we can prophesy the best is yet to come, but I'm just trying to look for some honest Christians tonight that can say, yes, I just don't know what I'm going through, but I know I've been in a season of confusion. I've been believing God, I've been fasting, I've been praying, but the reality is I just don't even know anymore. It seems as if I come to church, I know His goodness, I know His mercies, but I'm still struggling. I'm still battling in my mind. I'm still battling in my home. I'm still battling in my emotions.
Yes.
But can I jack up your theology? Come on tonight. God can handle your emotions. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I come to tell you, sir. I come to tell you, man. God can handle when you're angry. God can handle when you're sad. God can handle when you're frustrated. God can handle when you just don't even know. Because that's what kind of God that we serve. Come on, we serve a God that is able to know all things. Because when we come to the concluded matter of fighting and wrestling in our faith, it's up to us to say, God, I don't know when you're going to come. I don't know how you're going to do it. But all I know is I'm holding on to the promises of God. And shout, I just don't even know. Can some of you be honest? You just don't even know. Leaving you with the question, God, what are you doing in this season? God, where are you? God, why do you have me here? Come on, I didn't come to talk to religious folk tonight. I come to talk to some of you that would be real. They could say, I've been in too many of them seasons to count. I've been more confused than I was confirmed. Come on, I've been more persuaded by what I see rather than uplifted by what I know. Because the reality, some of us, you have to understand, God cannot give us what we desire if we never had to fight to get it. Come on, so we have to understand, if you want a new anointing, if you want greater power, you got to go through seasons, baby. When your back is against the wall, and you say, man, I feel like I'm about to have another nervous breakdown. I feel like everything around me is crumbling and caving in. But it's in a place of victory that you also see failures. It's in a place of celebration that you also feel the sorrow. It's in a place where God is very present, yet very distant at the same time. Come on, in a place where people ask how you're doing, and it transpires into me saying, I just don't even know. Your insecurities about the move of God are safe with God. God is not moved by your insecurities while you're still believing God. But sometimes you have to face the facts and tell the truth. I just don't even know. I just don't even know what God is doing, because I'm in a place where I'm tussling with the revelation of God and what He's seemingly doing in my life. Have you ever been there in a state of confusion with God? Have you ever been there when seemingly you're lost and confused? Have you ever been there where it feels like you're in a dry place, worshiping and can't feel anything, praying and can't hear anything, praising and don't even know what's going on? I know for some of you who are converts, you're enjoying your time right now. But for those of you that have been in this for any length of time, can you just wave your hands and let them know? We all got to go through seasons. Come on, we just don't even know. But sometimes I just scratch my head and look up to the heavens and say, God, when are you going to move in this? It seems as if it's taking a bigger toll on me than what I intended. But I come to tell somebody, there's some of you tonight, you're looking all around you. You're saying, yeah, the camp meeting's been good. The music's been good. The preaching's been good. The altar service's been good. But while you're looking at everybody else, the awe of his presence. You've been in the awe of one of the greatest attacks of your life. And I'm trying to tell somebody, you've been in a wrestling match, but I dare to shake your neighbor's hand like you're going to shake it off and say, hey, hey, neighbor, your worship is going to outweigh your warfare. Your worship is going to give you triumph to overcome every obstacle that has been designed to block and stop the will of God in your life. That God is getting ready to give you the ability to walk out of the confusion. I know you don't understand it right now, but I come to tell somebody, here's the question of the text. What do we do? Well, we just don't even know. Come on, what do we do? Well, we're in limbo. See, we're doing everything right, but feel so far from God. As we examine the text, it would suggest to us a man by the name of Job, one of the most famous stories in the whole Bible. But I pray tonight that we understand that it's deeper than what he told his wife. It's here that we find that Job, who was upright, he testifies that God had never failed him. Job is so faithful that he would get up every morning and make sacrifices unto the Lord every day. Your Bible says that Job, he would get up and pray for his children. He would pray for his household. Not because they'd done anything wrong, but because he wanted to make sure that they were in right standing with God. And the Bible said Job would make sacrifices every morning unto the Lord just in case. And it was here the Bible declared that now one day come along and Satan sees him. And the Bible declared that he went to heaven and he began to commune with God. And the Bible said that Jesus looked at him and said, what are you doing? And the Bible said that he responded, I've been walking to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. Well, about that time, there was a pause in the text, and Jesus looked back and said, well, have you considered my servant Job? And the Bible said that Jesus looked back and was waiting for an answer. And the Bible declared that Satan looked at him and said, well, it's funny that you asked that, because I was thinking about that old cat. He said, but every time I try to touch him, it seems as if there's a hedge all about him. And the Bible declared that now Jesus told him, he said this, he said, you could go and you could try him, but you just can't touch him. And the Bible declared that it was here that now Job had entered into the delirium. I know a lot of preachers preach and take the spin off the text. Come on, that he said that he ain't never done me nothing but good. Come on, and his wife told him to curse his God and die. But I didn't come to preach that tonight. I want to put this in your soup while I'm in your kitchen, because you got to understand, a lot of us are shouting over Job telling his wife that he ain't never done me nothing but good. But a lot of us have failed to realize before Job could get the victory on up the new season, and the best is yet to come. He had to go through a season, but I just don't even know. He had to go through a season. Come on, I'm confused. I'm hurt. I'm frustrated. I don't know what's going on right now, but it feels like everything's against me. It feels like the more I pray, the worse it gets. The more I fast, the worse it gets. And the Bible declared that it was here that now Job had to understand being frustrated yet faithful. Clap your hands right there and open your mouth and say, Lord, if I'm going to be guilty for anything, I'm going to be guilty for being frustrated and faithful. If I'm going to be guilty for anything, I'm going to be guilty, come on, for being mad but still lifting my hands, because I refuse for what I'm going through to determine what is in me due to the detrimental assignment that is over my life. But if I depart right here, I would ask you, how do you handle when your God puts you on a chopping block and says, all right, hell, go ahead and have them. Go ahead and try them. Go ahead and fight their marriage. Go ahead and fight their children. Go serve, the one that you pray to, the one that you worship, says, you know, they've been good, but go ahead and try. How do you respond? Because I'm telling you, we all have to go through seasons. Come on, that we have to question whether or not God has forsaken us, but whether God is fighting for us. But we find here in the text that now the enemy said, every time I try to touch him, everything goes south. And the Bible declares that now it challenges God by saying, if you remove the hedge, Job won't be as perfect and mature as you say. The Bible would suggest it all in one day. Somebody shout, one day. Job lost everything. The Bible declared that they came to Job telling him about the servants dying. They come to him telling him about the possessions being destroyed. They come to him telling him about his 10 children dying all in one day. Instead of Job cursing God, Job shaking his head. Here it is. He now entered into an I just don't even know season, because the Bible said that Job shaved his head and he ran for his life. Ask your neighbor, have you ever been there with God when it felt like he forsook you? Come on, only for his pleasure. Come on, I need you to be transparent tonight. Before, when I said, why in the world am I fighting this? When it seems as if I was more fun, I would have been better off if I hadn't have showed up to church. I would have been better off if I hadn't have prayed for God's will. But the moment I was faithful, the moment I've been tried, the moment I was faithful, the moment hell unleashed his minions over me. And I'm trying to ask you today, can you still worship while God is stripping you? Can you still worship while God is taking from you? Can you still worship while God is choosing to leave you broken? Is he still God even when he doesn't answer your prayers? Is he still God even when he's not moving for you? And the Bible declared that Job, he never cursed God, but he went on, and the Bible declared that now God says, okay, you can touch Job's body, but whatever you do, you cannot kill him. Well, the Bible declared that Job woke up the next morning, and the Bible said that he had boils all over his body. I need you to see a church. Come on, this man, he's lost everything by now. And now waking up, come on, he said, everywhere I turn and move, I feel the pains, come on, of the boils all over my body. Can you see it? The boils, come on, so big that they're turning into nasty infected blisters. Come on, as the pus, come on, is seeping out of him. Come on, this is the Job we're talking about. And I just don't even know season. Come on, when he was saying, God, it feels like my own God has forsaken me. Come on, boils all around him. Boils from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. Come on, he being sickly. Come on, and feeling alone. But I like the text, because the Bible said that about that time, Job with all his might, Job with all his strength, he didn't have much left. But the Bible said he stood up and he said, though. Yes. Tell your neighbor, though. That's what he said. He said, though. He slayed me. Yet will I trust him. I know you can shout when he's blessing you. But can you shout when it feels like God is trying to kill you? I know you can shout when God is blessing your finances. But can you shout? Come on, when you got more bills than you got money. Come on, I know you can shout. Come on, when the break gets good. And when the music's just right. Come on, and when the contract comes in. I know you can huck and buck. And three-step and roll in the floor. And run the pews at the wheel. But can't you bless God when everything is against you? And your own God has forsaken you. I need you to tell your neighbor, you're coming out of this. You're coming out of this. I don't know what rocked you. I don't know what tried to rip you. But your identity with Christ, the don't trust them through it. There's one old timer said, in the hills of Kentucky, if God don't keep me from it, he'll let me live with it. I come to tell somebody, he'll let you live through what you're going through. If you make your mind up that I'm going to praise him in the chaos, it's in my whole season. I just don't even know that he is a God of his word, that he will never forsake it. I dare at least 42 and a half of you to just jump up on your feet and give God. I just don't even know.
Hallelujah.
His mind was so locked up in God that he isn't moved by the advice of his wife and the revelation of his friends. In fact, Job is still in an awkward position. He can't get any peace but still believe in God. And here's the text, 23 chapters later, Job is still believing God. By the time we get to chapter 23, Job says, I want to have a meeting with God. Job tries to seek after God, and God isn't answering. Job's putting me through. Come on, but now I'm going to show him that even though you're the sickest you've ever been, I want to know, do you still have your seat? God. I'm trying to tell somebody tonight, the church said it like this, if you call on Jesus, he'll answer prayers. But what do you do when you call him and he doesn't answer? When you go to the prophet for a word and the prophet is silent, you fast for yourself and it's still silent. You go to your man of God and he doesn't have nothing for you. Surely, God, if you're allowing Satan to destruct my mind, you'll at least send ministry angels to come minister to me. Job said, I went forward and it wasn't there. I went backward and it wasn't there. I went to the left and it wasn't there. I went to the right and it still wasn't there. Even when God wasn't answering, I never lost my seat. Can you tell your neighbor? Say, neighbor, the best is yet to come. But you'll never see the best that is yet to come if you lose your desire to seek and pursue. Yes. Can I tell you the only way you can see the best that is yet to come, because saying the best is yet to come is saying it's not happened yet, but it's on the way. How can I see what's on the way if I'm done seeking? How can I see what's on the way if I've stopped relying and trusting in God? You know what some of us need? We don't need another revival to slain us in the floor and roll around and me pat my hands on you and grease you down. Come on, like a greasy pig with a no. We need a revival of seek again. Come on, and we understand. I can't get it for you. You can't get it for nobody else. But you got to get it for yourself. Come on, Bernie said it like this. I can work for you all day long, day by day. But you got to get it for yourself. Come on, you got to get a seat yourself. You gotta get a prayer life for yourself. You gotta get a desire to fast for yourself. I'm telling you, can I stand here and preach against the grain tonight and tell you it's not always easy preaching what God gives you? Now come on, but my assignment isn't to shout you crazy. No, my assignment is to tell you a lot of us are looking for a new season and we still have the same attitude from last season. A lot of us are looking for a new season and we still worship the same way we did last season. We still pray the same way. We still fast the same. Now tell somebody, I cannot be the same if I'm going into a new season. And here we are about to go into yet another year, another new year. You told God you was going to pray more and you still ain't done it. You told God you was going to fast more and you still ain't done it. I'm tired of new seasons and same habits. Something in us has to desire to love God. Not for my pastor, not for the evangelist, not for the lay members, not for the elders. No, I love God because he is my portion. I don't do this because I have to. I don't live this because I have to. No, I do this because I love God.
Hear me tonight. Some of y'all don't get sour on me. We have soothed the conscience of lazy people in the kingdom by telling them a new season's coming, but still failing to correct the season that they were in, that they wanted to leave because it wasn't easy. Come on. Come on, y'all say amen to me. I know I'm talking right. Come on. Come on, what we have done is we have raised a generation that when it gets hard, we run instead of fight. We raise a generation. Come on, when things our way. We pout, we mumble, we grumble, complain, we stick our lip out. Come on, we throw our arms. Well, he just don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, you're right, I might not know. But can I tell you, there's times in this old boy's life, I don't feel like praising him. You think everything's perfect for a preacher? You're sadly mistaken. God, I'm trying to tell you, we have to learn if we're going to tap into the things of God. I don't need another season. I need a deeper revelation. But falling in love with his word, falling in love with his presence, falling in love with the altar. Come on, I'm not in love. Come on, with what's going to bring attention to me. No, I'm in love with an altar that's going to shift my life forever.
Some of you, you've been guilty. You said, I thought things were starting to get good. I thought things were starting to turn around. Can I tell you what's happened? We've jumped into another season prematurely. Come on, instead of killing the root of what was in last season.
Come on.
And so we wanted it easy. And we said, thank God for a body. Come on, you rode around the floor, you shouted, you danced, you hugged, you bucked. Come on, and God has said, you're doing all that hugging and bucking. Come on, but you still not even tapped in to the revelation of what I'm requiring of you. I'm not wondering if you can make it a Sunday 30 minutes early. No, no, I'm trying to figure out, can you have a prayer and a desire to seek him even when your pastor doesn't make you? Can you have a desire to push the plate back even when it's not corporate fasting? Come on, but because you love God, I'll do what it takes.
He said, seek ye
first
the kingdom of
God,
and all these other things will be
added unto you.
Seek ye
first.
Seek ye
first.
How can I jump to another element, another level, another season if I'm not seeking? To learn seeking God isn't always going to be fun.
That's right.
But seeking God is what's necessary to the flesh.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that desires the easy way out.
Amen.
I remember growing up in an old Pentecostal church in Kentucky. Just a flow of them mothers before they all died out. I remember before it's went out of style that Pastor Leslie, they would be in them altars praying you through to the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, it was like, come on, a bunch of coon dogs barking up a tree. And a coon, come on.
Right.
That ain't too country for you guys in Ohio, is it?
No.
And so you'd have them elders of the church, them mothers of the church, them fathers of the church that be in that altar praying for you and slapping you. Come on, and putting your head off 50,000 different ways. Come on, speaking in tongues, telling you to speak it and release it. But there's something that they've done, and my Holy Ghost, come on, tapped into it today as I was praying. He said, "Then, Michael, there's something that has changed." He said, because then they didn't have a problem telling you. After you got done talking in tongues, all right, baby, you come on back next service and sing for it again. Come on, because you know what they were teaching? They were teaching, just because you gave a tongue one time, don't mean you got it deep down on the inside of you. Come on, I remember them church mothers. Come on, and them men of God. Come on, they'd stand you up. They'd say, all right, now you come on back next service. Come on, and you tear for it again. Because they were teaching us. Come on, anybody can talk in tongues. Devils can talk in tongues. Witches can talk in tongues. But it's when you have a seat. Come on, that you've been filled. If you want power with God, you have to have a seat.
God. All this righteousness, all these other things be added unto you. But whatever you do, when you feel perplexed, don't lose your
sight. Yeah. Amen.
Here's Job. I'm almost done. Staying in a posture of sin. Job is confused. Job is living in delirium. I need to find out what I did wrong. I need to know why God has me here. What is next for my life? And there's another text as you reverse that shows Job talking to the Lord. I believe you so much and believe you're everywhere. I know you're looking at me, but you're not talking to me. I learned to have peace with your absence while present. Your presence I can't feel. What about your voice I cannot hear? And you have to understand that when God leaves you in a place of I just don't even know. I just don't know if I'll be healed. I just don't even know what to do. I just don't even know if he's going to do it. I just don't even know if he's going to pull me out. I just don't even know what is next. I just don't even know what the best that is yet to come. But I just do know I shall seek him. Because Job, according to the theologians, was caught up in a court case. He was wanting God to show up. And he was looking to see what the verdict was. And the Bible declared it was here that Job showed up. And it was here that now he found himself standing for what was right when everything wrong was going on against him. Could you be going through what you're going through? Because God trusts you to go through it. Let's flip the theology here and understand sometimes our perspective needs to change. It's not what I do wrong. What if it's the things I do right that I have to face the warfare and the hell and the trauma and the battles that I'm going through? Everybody can't suffer with loss and still press through. Everybody can't suffer with pain and still press through. Everybody can't suffer with betrayal and still press through. He trusted me to go through it. And when you just don't even know, you must be at peace that the God who knows all things, he knows. And here's why I want to preach the text tonight. You didn't put your Bibles up, did you? I need you to grab it because it's going to get in your spirit tonight. We find here in Job. Oh, yes, Lord. We find here in Job 23, verse 8. The Bible declared, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. I go backward, and I cannot perceive him. Verse 9, on the left hand, where he don't work, but I cannot behold him. He hided himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But the Bible says, catch it, he knoweth, somebody shout, he knoweth. He knoweth the way that I need you to see it for yourself tonight. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see it for yourself. The Bible said he knoweth. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's an ETH at the end. The Bible said he knoweth the way that I take. And when I've been tried, come on, I shall come forth as pure gold. Well, can I take my time and preach it here? I'm coming to a close. Job is showing us in verse 9 of chapter 25. I love this Bible. He said he's hiding himself from me on purpose. But can I tell you, anytime you read the Bible in the King James Version, the ETH at the end, it means he knows, he knew, and he knows. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody, don't forget the ETH. Because even the best is yet to come. But in order for the best that is yet to come, it is the foretelling. What is the foretelling? The foretelling means I'm talking as if what's on the way hasn't happened yet. So the foretelling is me telling you, come on, that I don't see it yet, but it's on the way. I haven't heard it yet, but it's on the way. Tell your neighbor, he know it. ETH, ETH, he know it, he knew. He knows, come on somebody, I'm going to tell somebody, he knoweth the way that I take. In other words, Job was saying, he knew, he knows, and he also knows. He knew me in my past, he knows me in my present, and he knows me when I arrive in my future. I'm Job, God knows me in my good, God knows me in my bad, God knows me in my broken state. There's nothing about me that he doesn't know. Job is a
majestic. God knows him enough that he can be trusted with what he's going through. I come to tell Judah Tabernacle, the best is yet to come. But tell your neighbor, don't forget the foretelling of the ETH. Don't leave out the ETH, because the ETH lets me know if he cared, that means he cared for me when I didn't care for myself. If he cared, that means he cared for me when nobody else cared for me. If he cared, that means he's there in my future. If he knoweth, that means he's coming on the scene to let me know that everything's gonna be alright. I think somebody lift your hands and say, God, I thank you for the ETH. I thank you for the ETH. Let me know that all things work together for the good, for them that love God, that are called and according to his purpose. It's the ETH that saved me. It's the ETH that delivered me. It's the ETH that let me know that I can still go free. He knows, he knew, and he knows.
I'm giving you what's to come. ETH understands. I'm giving you what's on the way. And I came to minister faith to your frustration. While you're wrestling with the I don't even know, he's looking to see if you'll hold on to what you do know. Even when I feel I've lost myself, I can lift my hands, come to the music softly, and say, even if I just don't know what he's doing, I know one thing. He is a God of his word.
Oh, yes, he is.
Speaking into existence what hasn't taken place yet. Watch it. So if I'm speaking into existence what hasn't happened yet, sometimes it's easy for me to lose track of what I need to trace. And here's where Job was. The best is yet to come, Job. But I just don't even know when it's happening. Because when I went forward,
he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
Yeah.
I went to the left. He wasn't there. I went to the right. And the reality is, we have to understand this road that we call Christianity isn't supposed to always be easy. Now I know. That they tell you that being a Christian, you shouldn't have to struggle, you shouldn't have to fight. Well, if they have, please let me have their number because I want to shake their hand. Because as bad as you want vanilla ice cream and cherries, not touching them. Come on, if you let them touch, you're weird. It's another message for another time. Just like some of y'all that put gravy on your biscuits. It's called gravy and biscuits. Come on. Hallelujah. See, I knew, see, some of y'all been asleep the whole time until you woke up. We understand that when he knoweth, it's not that I won't have to fight. But sometimes God just wants to know if I have consistency in who I am. Hear me right here. If we have consistency, maybe we would see something shift in some areas of our homes and lives. Can I help you? A lot of us are saying, well, they just don't want God. They don't want to come to church. No, they just don't want to be with somebody that's inconsistent in their walk with God.
Reach it. Amen.
But they just don't want God. They don't love God. No. It's not that they don't love God. It's that you partake in the same stuff they do when the lights are off and nobody else is around. You talk the same way they talk, and you wonder why they can't trust your God. Because if they're trying to figure out your God does that, then I don't want nothing to do with it. There's a world that needs to see consistency. Not religious bigots that know how to dress it up and judge everybody else. I knew you weren't going to shout right there. Because anybody can wear a suit and tie. Anybody can dress it up and look good. But I want to know, are you consistent? Because consistency, this is the text that I love. We preach and we shout about how when the Bible said Job got everything that he lost, God restored all, and woo, we huck and buck and we shout and roll. But we miss it. I think we miss it because it's not for us to shout about. It's for us to really examine the consistency of relationship with the Father.
Yes.
Doesn't shock me and then have me go out and do the same thing.
Yes.
But relationship with the Father says, consistency is a challenge, but consistency is necessary to my flesh and my future. This is the text. After Job went before God, the Bible said he returned. And I love this. Pastor Jeff, the Bible said he returned back to what he was doing. He never failed, nor did he waver. But he continued to do what was necessary for his assignment. A lot of us want to shout over assignment and anointing, but a lot of us fail. With assignment and anointing comes consistency in who we are. Can I help you? Consistency doesn't mean you'll be on a flyer. Consistency doesn't mean everybody's going to applaud you.
Right.
No, consistency means when you get around lost family members, are you the same person in here as you are out there? When you go to school, do you tell dirty jokes and laugh and think you're cool, trying to fit in, or do you say, you know what, I'm going to be different? Because difference is what makes a change.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. Preach.
Hallelujah.
And the hard reality is we blame pressure. But sometimes we blame the pressure that we run to. Because navigating to the things that we call peer pressure, it eases our conscience of being lazy and what's required of us when mommy's not looking. Can you have a desire to pray? When your youth group isn't pulling your hand and telling you to come up.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me.
Come on.
I know it's hard tonight. I don't need you to shout. I'm trying to be real with you tonight. Do you have a desire to seek him?
Yes.
Not for a show, because can I tell you, I've been there, I bought the t-shirt for the brat. I'm telling you, I knew what it was like to be a teenager, and I knew how to lift my hands when everybody else did. I knew how to shout when everybody else did. I knew how to turn on the crowd when everybody else did. But the reality, God was not looking for my emotions to be stirred. God was looking for my consistency in who I was to be challenged. The truth of the matter, I just don't even know. There's some of you tonight, if you want to be honest with yourself, I'm seeing tears all across this tabernacle. You want to be honest with God, I don't need you to be honest for me. I need you to be honest to yourself. You just don't even know. You go through the motions, you lift your hands, you come to church, but the reality, you've lost your desire to seek. So I begin to pray today. telling you, this can't be. I said, God, I won't preach them till they shout up and up. God said, they might go, what's the point of knowing how to shout? And there's no routine of discipline in the spiritual things of God. Preaching to you tonight, consistency is more than coming to church. No, consistency is falling in love with His presence and understanding that God looks for them that have lost their way.
Yes.
Are you ready? Because He knoweth the way that you take. So before you even pick the blunt up, He knew. Before you pick the bottle up, He knew. Come on. Before you even pop the pill, He knew. But here's what I love about our God. Even though He knew you would do it, He said, I know it the way they take. But I'm here with arms wide open to let them know. Even when they just don't know about themselves, I still know about them. Even when they can tell them, oh, another side, another one. Even come on, when life has had a way of breaking them. Come on, even when life has had a way of making you jump from relationship to relationship, trying to find peace within, trying to find value. God said, I've been right here the whole time to let you know I created you in your mother's womb. I created you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I know, I knew, and I know the way that you take, that when you've been tried, you shall come out as pure gold.
Amen.
I know somebody say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Shake condemnation.
Shake
condemnation. Come on, tell them. Say, shake condemnation.
Shake condemnation.
The Bible said there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Oh God, condemnation, I have you feel like you're so far from God that He can't reach you. But conviction, I have you understanding, even though I'm far from God, He wants to bring me back to where I belong. Tell somebody the best is yet to come.
Yes. Amen.
And yet, it's not going to come if I still have the same mentality I did in last season. We've caught on to cliches. We have shouted. We've danced about. Worshipped and cried and shouted about. Jeff, the Holy Ghost shook me this morning. He said, how many times you want to shout about God turning it around for our favor? Go back in our commitments.
Amen.
We must stay the course.
That's right.
And staying the course is understanding sometimes. Necessity is the simple fact that I need to stay in His presence. Because each and every one of us know the game we all played growing up, hide and seek. This was a perfect time for teenagers like myself to play that game. Because hide and seek wasn't about being the fastest. It wasn't about being the quickest. It was about being the one that knows how to scheme in the dark. And
there would be times that we would play that game. And we'd find everybody. And there'd be one missing. And I'm telling you, there'd be times we'd get frustrated because it was like, all right, they've been hiding too long now, we give up, just come out. But I liked it because it taught us. Sometimes you have to hide yourself in places that no one thinks of. Let me try this out. Sometimes you have to hide yourself in places that no one thinks of if you don't want to get caught. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me this morning. Brother Gorman, as I was reading this scripture, he said, you know what it was? He said, I desired, come on, of Job to have a consistency. But he didn't just have consistency. He had a seek about him that even in the darkest hours of his life, he remained hidden in places, come on, that hell could not attack. Then I tell you, you and I sometimes have to go, come on, through the battle of affliction with our physical body. You and I sometimes have to go, come on, through the thought process of losing and grieving over them that we love. But one thing I know for certain, if you hide yourself in the secret place, come on, everything that is hidden, hell cannot touch. He can try it, he can test it, but he cannot triumph. And I'm trying to tell you, I want to know tonight, come on, during this camp meeting, I don't just want to know if you can show up. No, I want to know, come on, do we have a desire to seek him, to tap into the hidden places where hell cannot manipulate us, to tap into the hidden places where hell cannot destroy us? I need us to lift our hands right now, lift our voice right now, because I'm telling us, I believe God is searching. I believe God is looking. Come on, for some of us tonight that would say, it's more than cliche, it's more than form, it's more than passion. No, I want a desire. Come on, to posture myself in a hidden place and to pray, because he knoweth the way that I take. Right now, I need you to lean over to your neighbor and ask him, are you hidden? Are you hidden? Ask him, if you're not hidden, come with me. We'll come to this altar, because there's some areas in our life tonight that need to be hidden. Come on, there's some blessings in God that need to be hidden. There's some prayers, there's some desires that need to be hidden. Right now, slip out of your seat. Let's find a place to pray. This isn't about nobody else. This is about you. Come on, I'm telling you, our desire must shift for the deeper things of God. Our desire must shift to do the things of God. I don't want another season. No, I want another revelation of being hidden in his presence. I don't want another place in God where I just walk through the motions. No, I want a place in God where I can seek him, where I can seek him, where I can go after him. Come on, lift your voice, lift your hands. Come on and begin to pray tonight. Come on, this is about you and God tonight. I want to know, come on, where? Up and engulfed in your glory and your power. Come on.
isn't easy. Repentance isn't easy. But right now, I'm not looking for you to tap into your emotions. I'm looking for you to tap into the deeper things of your heart. God, I pray tonight. I want to be in right posture. I want to be in right understanding. You know it the way that I take. So walk tonight. I position myself. I posture myself in right alignment with your word. Tears, but I'm hearing the Holy Ghost say, we need to take it up another octave. We need to take it up another octave. Come on, let's take our prayer up another octave. Let's take our worship up another octave. Come on, come on. Open your mouth and cry out to Him. Come on, open your mouth and cry out to Him. Come on, God, I don't want to be the same. What are you going to do when everything's over in a few days? Are you going to go back the same way? What are you going to do when camping's over? Come on, in a few days, will you pray the same way? Will you have the same desire? Come on, they're coming. Come on, I'm telling you right now, I feel like the power of God. Come on, I need some prayer warriors to help me pray. Come on, come on, I need you to hear me tonight. I don't want you to hide behind the drums. I don't want you to hide behind the music. But I want you to tap into something for yourself. Come on, we have raised the culture. Come on, you know why it's hard for some of you to intercede and to pray? Because you've learned how to mask it. Come on, behind the beat of a drum. You've learned how to mask it behind the singer singing. Come on, but God is wanting to know, can you tap in to the spirit of intercession? Come on, when you don't have nothing to drop, I tabo ho ya na bahaya. Can you tap in? Come on, to the deeper things of God. Come on, without nobody pushing you. We need a culture, come on, that is not cultivated by the worship and the music. No, we need a culture that is cultivated by the presence of God within that produces the worship. Come on, and I'm telling you right now, I come tonight to stir something up on the inside of you. I hope this challenges you tonight. Come on, we cannot remain the same if we want God to do greater. Come on. Not remain the same if we want God to do greater. Can you hear me right now? I don't need none of you getting mad at me. Come on, but I need you to tap in. You know why there's a generation? Come on, that has tapped in to only capture the emotions of God and not the heartbeat of God, because we've taught them to come to church when the music soundtrack will jump, when the music bookstrack will jump. But I'm wondering, are there some parents tonight? Are there some great parents tonight? Are there some uncles tonight? Are there some that, come on, that can get out of your